A new day, same story.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Three things are happening almost every day now. The price of oil hits a record high. This morning it's at $98 a barrel. The dollar drops to a new low against the euro. Today the exchange is $1.47. And so investors buy gold. Gold is at $845 an ounce this morning. That's just $5 from an all-time high. The stock markets are having mixed reactions. The Asian markets finished higher for the most part, but European shares are down so far. The Dow starts the morning at 13,660. It gained 117 points yesterday. The NASDAQ is at 2825 after tacking on 30. The S&P 500 begins at 1520 after adding 18. The problems in the credit markets may get deeper still. The latest casualty could be monolines. What is a monoline? Well, let's ask our man in London, Stephen Beard. Stephen?
These are bond insurers. They provide a guarantee against bond issuers defaulting. So they're very important for investors. The bond issuer's core business is the American municipal bond market. And we're talking here about $2.5 trillion in value.
And how did these bond insurers get wrapped up in the subprime market?
Well, that, of course, is the absolutely key question, because while municipal bonds are their main business, some of them have also been getting into the more exotic stuff, including the subprime stuff that's causing such problems.
What's the worst case scenario here?
Well, the worst case scenario is that several of these big bond issuers could go bust. Then many more bond issuers, perhaps even American municipal bonds, would fall in value as a result. And you'd possibly then see, and this is the worst case scenario, pension funds and other investors dumping these previously AAA rated bonds on the market. And indeed, there are some commentators on this side of the Atlantic who are saying this is the second shoe of the credit crisis about to drop. And it could be far worse than the first.
All right, Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Bottled water has turned into a $15 billion industry, but it's gotten some bad press lately. Some groups are complaining about the environmental impact, the fuel used to transport it, the plastic bottles that end up in landfills. One company is taking the high road. Today, Fiji Water unveils a new eco-friendly business plan. Jeff Tyler reports.
Within 3 years, Fiji Water claims the production and sale of each bottle will result in a net reduction of the carbon in the atmosphere.
We don't know of any company in our industry that has made a commitment as broad as the one we have.
That's Fiji Water's Tom Mooney. In practical terms, he says,
we're going to rely at least 50% on renewable sources for our energy. We're going to reduce our packaging by at least 20%. And then we'll substantially reduce waste during our manufacturing process by 33%.
John Koifman with the Natural Resources Defense Council credits the company for good intentions, but
it's still hard to justify shipping more than 1 million plastic bottles of water a day from the middle of the South Pacific when turning on your faucet at home would do just as good a job for a tiny fraction of the cost.
The company is a big player in Fiji's economy. Bottled water accounts for roughly 20% of the island country's exports. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Medtronic, partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Medtronic.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to an energy-independent America by increased use of public transportation at publictransportation.org.
Today is day three of the Hollywood writers' strike. Several TV shows have already stopped production because they've run out of scripts. In fact, commentator Robert Reich was supposed to appear on The Daily Show last night, but the show has gone into reruns. Reich says the Hollywood walkout is a sign of the times.
Now, this may look like the kind of strike that used to cripple American industry years ago when big labor was really big. But look more closely, and you'll find an issue more closely related to Chinese pirating of American movies and CDs than to a traditional labor management brawl. You see, entertainment is coming to be a larger and larger part of what skilled and creative Americans do for a living. Watch the credits at the end of movies and try counting the names. Add in all the people involved in producing musical recordings, animated computer games, books, magazines, advertising, and the ever-expanding numbers doing all this and more on the Internet through streaming media, webisodes, downloads. Entertainment is also becoming an ever larger portion of America's exports. Depending on how broadly you define it, about 12 to 15% of what we sell to the rest of the world. In short, entertainment is among our most valuable properties. But it's intangible, weightless. Easily expressed in digits, it can be sent anywhere around the world in seconds. And the cost of reproducing it is close to zero. So who's entitled to the money that comes from the sale of creative, digitized products? That's what we're trying to negotiate with the Chinese and developing nations around the world. That's also what the writers for movies and television are trying to negotiate. They want more of the revenues from sales of DVDs, ads on the Internet, and other forms their creations now take, forms they couldn't possibly have anticipated years ago when their contracts were last negotiated. Whether the clash is with the writers' union or the Chinese, the underlying issue is the most basic of capitalism. Who owns what? And in this new digital age, the answer has to be negotiated anew.
Robert Reich's latest book is called Super Capitalism. He was labor secretary under President Clinton. You're welcome to share your thoughts with us and with other listeners on our website. It's marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.